We've working through a sermon series we started last week entitled Life Together, based on a book by the same title by a guy by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I would recommend to your reading. So if you haven't spent any time reading any of his stuff, I'd invite you to do that. And last week we spent some time talking about the common life and the ways in which Christian community and this common shared life that we have together as Christians, the importance of it and what it looks like and how we do it, and how it's the foundation of that is always Christ, and the ways in which that kind of impacts how we deal with each other, how we put up with each other, how we serve each other, how we love each other. We talked about the idea of love, of loving each other, of unity, of peace. There's no way that we can have those things together without Christ. That we would just simply get so sick and tired of each other. We'd be so frustrated, so annoyed, so mad, so over being around each other on our own, that Christian community cannot happen without Christ as the foundation of that. That it's only in and through Christ that you are willing and able to put up with me, and vice versa. So we talked about how the common life is this thing that as we live life together as Christians, what that looks like and what it means being under Christ as we try to do that. We talked about how the common life is not an ideal, but a reality that we can actually live in and experience. So sometimes we think about the common life or the Christian community as a saying like, oh, what, you know, we like kind of daydream, like, wouldn't it be great if we could be in a part of a community with people who are trying to follow Christ, and we could do, wouldn't that be? And we think that it's this thing that we can't actually experience or this reality that we can't attain, but that God divinely created this reality that we can experience, that we might actually live in this community, this common life together, and be a thing that can we can know and we can live in. The other thing that we talked about was the common aspect of it, right, is this thing that we think about as common means it's something that we share. There are things about our life together as Christians that we share. We have a lot of different opinions. There are a lot of different opinions in this room this morning on a lot of different things. And that, to me, is something to celebrate and be excited about, and because, as I mentioned last week, otherwise we'd be really boring. If we all had the same opinion on all the same things, we would be boring. We would be a boring group of people. But thankfully, there are a lot of different opinions on lots of different things, which make our conversations then, I think, even more interesting and engaging. Now, having said that, while we have lots of different opinions, there are some shared foundational things that for most of us, if not all of us, we need to be able to share, which gives us the common part of this life. Common, shared. So this idea that, okay, we believe things that are foundational to what it means to follow Christ. Okay, so we have some common things. Now, the other thing that we talked about was last week how we have to move into and live in some of the uncommon places. Right? If you and I are really going to try to follow Jesus, then he calls us to move into the uncommon places. And what I mean by that is that there are places that you and I need to go as Christians where our Christian worldview is not the shared common experience. That we need to be living in the uncommon places so that you and I as Christians are in the minority. That we are living in a place where we our shared faith and relationship with Christ is not the norm. And if we constantly are living in just this sort of Christian bubble of, well, I only really know other Christians, then I'm not really sure what our Christianity is really all that worth. So we have to take this common life that we have together, but then we have to move into the uncommon places where you and I sort of become maybe the outliers, or we're in the minority. And it doesn't mean we're doing it in a way that's awkward or pushy or annoying. Right? That we're able to live in the uncommon places in a way that we can be in community and relationship with those who do not claim Jesus. They do not, forget claiming him, they don't even know him. I mean, frankly, they could care less about him or church or faith or whatever. And so we as Christians need to be moving into and living in the uncommon places, which is what makes us the uncommon thing, right? So that we're living in these places where we might be the grace and the love of Christ. And that those around us might be like, hey, you seem different. Not in a weird way, right? But different in a way of we're living in the freedom that is in and the grace that comes in and through knowing Christ. So we move into the uncommon places. We take our common life that we have together, and we move into the uncommon places where you and I become sort of the way in which what we're trying to do as we follow Jesus isn't the norm. Because if it's just a bunch of Christians hanging out all the time, then that's not even the model that Jesus lived or that he gives us to live. So we talked about that last week. This morning we're going to talk about life together, and we're going to talk about me or I or the individual. And then next week we're going to talk about us. And then the last week before we start a new sermon series coming in September, we're going to be talking about breakthrough. And we'll talk through some different ways in which this life together can help us lead to breakthroughs in our lives, in our faith, and some different things like that. So I'm going to pray and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you're here. Help us to continue to be present with you. And we pray that you would open your word to us this morning, that it might be fresh and new. We pray that even if just for a moment, you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead, and so that we would hear your voice. May your spirit be our filter, so that we would hear the things you'd have for us. Everything else we can kind of just set off to the side. And I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak would not be my own, but yours. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you, if you would, to turn to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to hang out in Mark a couple times this morning. And so if you're taking notes, Mark chapter 1, we're going to start by looking at verses 35 through 37. Bring your Bibles to church. So on your phone, on your e-reader, your tablet, your whatever, just have your Bible. I really, truly believe and trust that it will be a meaningful thing for you. Just try it. Just for a month, go, okay, Matt, I've heard you say this. Just for a month, try bringing your Bible to church each Sunday. And if at that point you go, well, that's dumb, that'd be weird, but that's fine. If that's what you, then just fine. But we've got Bibles there on the chairs. You'll see some words on the screen here. I just think there's something about having it in front of you so that you can just know that I'm not making stuff up, and it's a way in which you can kind of connect with it. Now, before we jump into the passage, this morning we're talking about me, okay? Not me, but me as the individual, as you as the individual. And so it's important, I think, that we make a distinction right away between the difference of being lonely and being alone, okay? The difference between being lonely and being alone. The difference is lonely is when you are alone, not by choice. When you want to be in community or you want to be with another person or another individual and you are not, then you are lonely. Being alone is a choice that you and I make to be by ourselves. Knowing that we also have the opportunity or the availability to be in relationship with or community with others. Lonely is when it's kind of, it's forced upon us in a way. I don't want to be alone, and I find myself alone, lonely. Being alone is when I make the conscious choice to intentionally say, I need to disconnect from the community or from other people right now to be alone. So this morning, we're focusing on being alone, the choice to be alone as an individual, not those who are lonely. There is no question in my mind that there are some of us here this morning who feel really lonely. And I do think that God speaks into that and will meet you in your loneliness. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. This morning is when we choose to be alone. So Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 35 through 37. So Jesus, his ministry has been started. He's doing some things, and we come across verse 35, very early in the morning, I'm reading from the NIV. While it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, there is a whole nother sermon series that could be talked and taught about the idea of Jesus being alone, choosing to go into a solitary place and be alone and pray and study and meditate and do all of those things. Even when the disciples were all up and they're like, "Jesus, everyone is looking for you." There's something to be said about the fact that Jesus was intentional about taking time away. He disconnected to be alone with God. Now, this morning, what we're talking about more is the idea of when we think about life together and the individual. The individual, you as an individual, are a key component, building block to the common life, to life together, to Christian community. So much so that we would even kind of suggest that until you can get some stuff figured out alone, you can't really be in community. You can't truly be in community until you can truly be alone. Choosing to be alone. Remember, not loneliness, but choosing to be alone. And so that's kind of what we're talking about this morning. What does it look like for you and me to be alone? And how does us being alone impact the Christian community? So remember, this morning is me, next week is us. So we're building on what does it look like for you and I as the individual to be alone, and then what does it look like, how does that impact us coming together as Christian community? Now, one of the first things I think it's important to be thinking about is that Christian community is not a place to flee from oneself. Christian community is not a place to flee from yourself. It cannot be a distraction so that you don't have to deal with yourself. Christian community, the church, the common life, is not intended to be a thing so that you don't have to deal with your stuff. And sometimes we play church. Sometimes we play church with empty talk, and regardless of how spiritual the talk is, that it sometimes we use it as a way so we don't have to deal with ourselves. When that's happening, Christian community is not really happening. So when you and I come in and we want to be involved in stuff and we're really busy, and we do this in our lives, don't we? It's not just with church, but we do this with other aspects of our lives where we want to try to stay busy so we don't have to think about this or so that we don't have to deal with that. I don't really want to deal with my own stuff in my life, and so I'm gonna use church, I'm going to use Christian community as a way of being a distraction so I don't have to actually deal with self. And when that happens, then real life-changing Christian community is not really happening. Then we're just playing church with empty talk. We resist committing to stuff in our lives. We don't really want to commit to anything because then we have this. We can keep things moving, right? We can keep things changing, and so it's easy for us as we keep things changing to not have to feel like we have to start to deal with stuff. And we do. I mean, I see this with people with church all the time. I mean, I see that with people who have been here, have come here, they leave, they come back, they leave, they leave, they never come back, or they come back and then they stay for a while, and then they get to that point where it's like, I see us do this with church, where we're like, oh man, like I'm almost to the point of getting involved. I got to go find a new church. Like, whew, that was scary. Like, I almost committed to a church, and or I almost had to start dealing with my own stuff, because a part of being in Christian community is also being alone. And being alone with my own stuff is scary, it's hard, it's uncomfortable, and I don't want to do that, so I'm going to just go find another thing. And we see people that do that with relationships, with jobs, with schools, with church, with fill in the blank. And so if we can keep things changing, then we sort of have this excuse of like, well, I can just keep it on the shallow because I'm new here and so we resist committing to anything so that we can kind of always have the opportunity to start over. Bonhoeffer said in his book, he said, whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. Part of what it means to be us is what it means for you and I to be me, to be I, to be individual, to be alone, as the building block for what it means and for us to be us. And you can't avoid that it is precisely God who calls you, that God is calling you specifically. He is calling you to be in relationship with him specifically. And that's a part of what it means for you and I to have this life together and what it means for me, for you as the individual, to be a part of this life together. God has called you specifically, and he wants to deal with you and me specifically. God wants to use your gifts. He wants to use your talents. He wants to use your passions. He also wants to deal with your mess, with your struggles, with your stuff, you specifically. And if we use Christian community as a way of just being a distraction so we can ignore that, then we are, in a way, we are ignoring the call of Christ. We are neglecting the call of Christ on ourselves as individuals who God specifically is calling me by name. Matt, I want to use you, and I want to use your gifts and your talents, and I want to deal with your mess and your brokenness and your junk. And as I try to allow God to do that, that then you and I become better components of the us. Now, Bonhoeffer said, whoever cannot be alone should beware of community. He also said, whoever cannot stand being in community should beware of being alone. So that if you neglect the community of other Christians, you are also rejecting the call of Christ. And then being alone becomes harmful to you. Last week we talked about, and I even mentioned it again this morning, the idea of isolation. If we try to live in isolation, either as Christians or as individuals, right? It's the ongoing conversation that we have with other people or I have with individuals all the time. Well, I don't really need organized religion to be spiritual. I can find God by myself in my own time. Bonhoeffer would suggest that you are, in fact, this individual, not you. The one who would say that is actually neglecting the call of Christ. That you cannot, one cannot be a Christian in isolation. And if you can't stand being in community, then you should be aware of being alone. Because it's when we are alone, if we don't have the community, then we find ourselves in isolation, and our being alone becomes harmful to us. It's only in community that we learn to properly be alone. And it's only by being alone that we properly learn what it means to be in community. Turn over to Mark, just a couple pages to your right. Mark chapter 6. Just going to look at like three verses. Mark chapter 6. We're going to look at verse 30 through 32. So Jesus is, again, he's doing his thing. There's lots of people who are interested in Jesus, and crowds and crowds and crowds of people are coming to hear what he has to say and see the things that he's doing. So Mark chapter 6, verse 30. We're going to look at verses 30 through 32. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Now, what's interesting about this is that just after they go away in this boat, we read the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And it's the fact that they would go and spend time alone, which then allowed them to be in community and serve other people. It's in that period of being alone, in that period of silence, in that time where we can intentionally and purposely disconnect from the community with the intention of still being connected to it, but can step away from it so that we can be alone, that we then have a fresh, renewed sense of dealing with people. I mean, you can see that even here as Jesus is like, "Guys, we've been doing a lot of stuff." They're just like, "Hey, Jesus, we want to tell you about all that we've done and we've taught." And he's like, "Wow, great job, guys. Let's go, you know what? Let's go get away." So much so people are coming and going, they don't even have a chance to eat. He's like, let's go hang out. Let's get away for a little bit. Let's eat some food, hang out, and just rest. And so that then they can be back into community. Now, what does this time alone look like? What is the me of life together? What does it look like? I think it looks like two things in particular. That in our time alone, we are reading God's word. I mean, it seems basic, right? It seems like a no-brainer. I mean, I think for the most part, most of us sitting here would be like, "Oh yeah, reading the Bible, that's a good thing to do." Then how many of us go, "How much do I actually do it?" I mean, sometimes on Sunday morning when you read some words. But if we're thinking about the importance of me as the individual, as a part of us, which we'll talk about next week, that reading the word and being in the word in the time that I'm being alone becomes crucial. Because it's not only God's word for us as the community, as the church, it's also God's word for me as the individual, that God wants to speak specifically to you in and through his word. Right? Sometimes I think we read scripture and we read it in a way that's so general. We're like, "Oh, this is what Jesus is saying for Christians in general," or what it means for us to be the church. That's not wrong. But also, what does it mean to me and for me? What is God speaking to me specifically about in and through his word? It's not only God's word for the community of faith, but it's also God's word for me personally. So it's reading God's word, and it's prayer, and especially prayer for other people. This idea of intercessory prayer. I mean, the Christian community, the us part of this, I mean, we either live or die by praying for each other. Think about it. The last, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you can, there's a person's face who just will come to mind because I'm going to describe and you're going to be like, "Ah." And maybe they're already there, right? This person that you kind of have this with right now, and their face is there in your mind and you're like, "Ah." It becomes really difficult to hate, to be angry with, when we pray for that person. And so when we think about the common life that we share together, that only by God's grace are we able to deal with each other and put up with each other, that when those things happen and you can look across this room and be like, "Oh, that person. Maybe it's me." Then I would invite you to pray for me. Pray for that person, because then it becomes a lot more challenging to continue to hold that grudge, to deal with, to have that anger, to have that hate, to have that frustration when we're praying, actively praying for each other. I mean, Christian community, it lives or dies on whether or not we are willing to pray for each other. And that happens in the me time. That is me disconnected from you, praying for you. And praying for the ways in which we deal with each other and put up with each other. It changes the face of that person, doesn't it? That person that you're just like, ugh, the person. It changes the face of that person from that frustration to now I'm thinking about this person in a way in which they are one whom Christ died for, won freedom for, and the forgiveness of sins for. Who is a pardoned sinner, then I go, oh yeah, just like me. And now the face changes as I pray for this person. It's a daily service that we owe to each other and to God. It is a daily thing that as you and I spend this me time as a part of the us, that we owe to each other. We owe it to each other and to Christ to be praying for each other. Now, why do I think that the me component matters? In a couple of ways. To the us. Me matters to the us because every moment that you are alone impacts the community. Every act of self-discipline that you, of service, every act of self-discipline of your spiritual disciplines, every act of ways in which of obedience in your alone, in your me time, impacts the community. And vice versa, every moment of selfish decision of action or word or thought impacts the community. So me matters a lot to us. When you we're moving into the fall, right? And so we're all going to get sick. And those of us that, right? So, you know, those of us that have kids, that doesn't end. That's just constantly germs and being sick. And so think about the last time that you got sick or someone in your home got sick. And you can kind of think about where it might have, sometimes you can go, you can identify like, oh, yeah, that sickness came from there. Sometimes you can't. But it shows up and it impacts your life. The things that you and I do in our me time impact our us time. And whether it's in obedience or whether it's in selfish disobedience, there is no sin that you and I commit, even in the personal, secret parts of our lives, that does not somehow come back and impact community. Just like the illness. You may not know where the sickness came or the illness showed up, but the effects of being sick are clearly there. And we may not know in the midst of our common life together of where the division or the struggle or the frustration or the anger comes, but it's there. And sometimes those come through the time, those me times, when I think this has no bearing or impact on anyone in any way, but perhaps maybe myself. And even in those moments, the me impacts the we, the us. So me matters to us in our common life together. Just like in the positive side, where every time that you and I, in those moments of temptation or opportunity or frustration, and that by the grace of God we practice obedience or self-discipline, that impacts the us. That strengthens the us. That's why the me is so important to the us. Because every member, every part of the body impacts every other part of the body. When your body gets sick from some illness that shows up in you that you don't know where it came from, your whole body is sick. And so the parts impact the whole, whether it's contributing to our health or our struggle. And so my hope and my prayer for us is that as we as we are intentional about being alone, because we cannot be in community without being able to be alone. But that as we're intentional about being alone and taking the time and making the time for that, right? We hear Jesus, who was, his time was always in demand. I mean, for perspective, Jesus was a guy who raised people from the dead. Like, he made blind people see and lame people walk and deaf people hear and dumb people speak or mute. And people were constantly wanting this guy to be around and do stuff. I'm not done any of those things. And yet I feel like my time is also, right? We feel like our time is so much so in demand. People constantly need us or want us. And yet Jesus took time to be alone. Can we afford, as a Christian community, as us, to not be alone? Can we afford not to be alone with Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are among us as a community. And we confess to you that there are times when it's easy for us to use it as a way to lose ourselves, that we just maybe don't have to deal with stuff. Maybe we can find ways to not have to deal with you as we spend time together. And so I pray that you would help us by your Spirit, and that we would be intentional about being alone, and especially about being alone with you. Lord, help us to see that the things that we do, even in the quiet, matter to us. That it makes a difference in our community, the things that we're doing when we're alone. And so by your Spirit, we ask that you would give us perseverance, increase our faith, that we might rely on you and trust that you're going to meet us even when we spend time alone, so that in our time alone with you, that we might be better together.